It's time now to take a ride in the Midnight Cab. Written by James W. Nichol, it stars David Ferry as your driver, Walker Devereaux. Walker is just about to take an informal music lesson from the blues. Join us now for Midnight Cab, The Mystery of the Drowning Man.
Here it is, almost the end of February, and I've only written 26 pages of my novel. 25 and a half. Well, a third. Geez, writing's painful. I was writing almost every day for a while, and then Krista... Well, at first, it was like she wanted to be with me all the time, and I wanted to be with her, too. Like, it was really crazy. I think we lost a whole week in there somewhere. At least I can't remember it. And she wanted to go out all the time, too, when I wasn't driving cab and she wasn't dispatching. I mean, it was like she was just taking off. Like she didn't want to stop. And then, Big Boss Bixen came to town.
Hey, hey, thank you. Thank you so kindly. Yeah.
Big Boss Bixen, the boss man, one of my all-time favorites. I mean, he's right up there with Sonny Boy Williamson and Big Boy Crudup and Champion Jack Dupree. And he was playing at the Blues Club on Queen Street I go to all the time. Big Boss Bixen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mack Smith.
And his longtime partner, Mack Smith. A lot of people think he's maybe the best traditional blues piano man who ever lived.
Edward B. Lightley.
And we were traveling with this young guy called Edward B. Lightley, who played rhythm guitar and sometimes sang harmonies. He was good.
Thank you so kindly. We're all going to have a heart attack now. We'll be back in 20 minutes.
And so I did, and he was, like, great. He was the blues. And before I knew it, I was telling him that I drove a cab and that if he ever wanted any kind of transportation any time at all... After I said that, he even came over and said hello to Krista. She was sitting at her table looking like a blonde pixie, her crutches propped up against a chair. I had to carry her up two flights of stairs into the club, but she didn't care. She was out for a good time. Krista and Big Boss Bixen. Jeez, I was happy.
Where are you going?
To get Mr. Bixen his Chicago papers.
Again?
Well, he needs them, and the hotel he's staying at doesn't have them, so I have to pick them up at Lightman's. You know that.
Yeah, but he's been doing this for a week.
It's okay, Krista. I don't mind. It's all over this Saturday night anyway. They'll be gone.
Good. Working a double shift so you can drive him to supper, and you pick him up at the club afterwards, take him God knows where. Getting up early so you can get his papers to him by 2 o'clock sharp. Boy, what a groupie.
I'm not a groupie.
Could have fooled me.
Oh, yeah?
Now you're going to get mad.
No, I'm not. You're just frustrating sometimes. You like him, too.
Not as much as you do. I'm just bored, Walker. You run around. I'm just working all the time or stuck up here.
Running around? You just said I was working too much.
I think I'm going to get my own place.
What?
Yeah. You like this apartment. It suits you, but I can't stay here and depend on you to get me up and down the stairs all the time. It's really a drag, if you want to know. And I'm not going home again. I just want my own place now.
Yeah?
I mean, I'm not saying you can't stay over at my apartment. And I'll stay over at your place sometimes. I don't know. It's just like all of a sudden I just want to come and go. I mean, be free to come and go. Don't you think that's good? I feel really good, Walker. I made a break from my parents. I just want to keep going.
Yeah?
Krista Papadopoulos. She's about 5'2" when she's standing with her crutches. She'd be 5'4" except her hip. It's kind of dislocated. I don't know. Ever since I met her, she's been doing weird things to my head. Krista Papadopoulos. I thought maybe, since we'd been living together for a few weeks, things might settle down between us, like get normal. Fat chance.
Yeah?
It's me, Mr. Bixen. Walker?
Hold on.
Hi, son.
Hey, Mr. Bixen, how you doing?
Got ahead of me the size of Toledo. Other than that, I'm all right. And thanks to the papers. I'll pay you later.
But that... That's okay. So, I'll pick you up at 7?
Big Boss Bixen. You'd hardly know he was 70 years old, except for his gray hair and the pouches under his eyes. He was wearing his faded orange bathrobe, and he had a pair of those half glasses perched on the end of his nose, but that was misleading. On the 8 nights he was playing so far, I took him out 4 times to these after-hour spots, blind pigs, he called them, and I'd pick him up about 5 in the morning. He liked me there with the cab. He didn't want to have to depend on anybody, you know. And maybe he'd be a little bit tanked when he came out, but he'd be cool. 70 years old. Blues man, still pushing, still trucking. He'd fire up a cigarette in the dark in the back seat of the cab.
Rock and roll.
Rock and roll?
In the original sense, my man. You got my meaning? You're a blues aficionado, right?
Right.
Well, Daddy got a little rock and roll tonight.
In there?
Yeah.
Hot dog.
Yeah.
What a man. 70 years old.
Hey, le chauffeur.
Oh, hi, Eddie. You haven't seen Mr. Bixen around.
No, man. Why?
Well, it's after 7. I pick him up 7 sharp every night. He's always ready.
Maybe he fell asleep.
I pounded on the door, like, for 5 minutes.
Well, maybe he went for a walk.
He's always ready.
Yeah, well, I gotta get ready too, man. Hey, look. One thing I learned about the big man...
What's that?
He looks after himself.
Edward B. Lightly. Eddie. Skinny as a rake handle, leaned up against his door and looked at me. His face intense now. Eyes hard.
Hey, you think if he had a change of plans, he'd let you know?
Sure.
At that, Eddie just kind of smiled.
Mr. Bixen. Mr. Bixen?
He hasn't had his supper yet. He's supposed to be on stage at 9.
Yes, well...
He's always ready. I help him on with his coat. We're out of here by 7:10.
Well, I suppose it won't hurt just to confirm everything's all right.
I followed the desk clerk inside. Mr. Bixen's clothes were laid out in the bed, his guitar case propped up against the wall. But no Big Boss Bixen looking all shined up and impatient. No Boss Bixen saying,
"You come by snow sled, baby? What's the weather like outside?"
Mr. Bixen?
The desk clerk stood at the closed bathroom door.
Are you in there?
I stood there for a moment, couldn't stand it. Went right by him and opened the door. Mr. Bixen's old bathrobe was folded neatly, sitting on the toilet lid. His slippers were lined up under the sink. And Mr. Bixen, he was looking up at me from the tub, his eyes looking lazily up through the water. Only part of his nose and his chin were dry, and a large expanse of belly and his knees. The rest of him lay sunken in the deep water. I could almost hear him.
"You come by a snow sled, baby?"
A halo of pink blood floated about his face.
"Hey, what's going on? Hey, what the hell's happening?" "Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Bixen?
He's dead. I'll call an ambulance. I'll call the police. You stay here. Stay here."
Eddie peered down at Big Boss Bixen, put his face down close to the water as if he were looking at him through a window. Then he stood straight up.
"Oh, the man's dead."
"Yeah."
He took one step back, swayed there for a moment. Then he turned and headed for the door.
Eddie, I think we better stay and...
"Yeah, well, I'll be back. I gotta phone the club."
"But..."
Something about the panic in his face... I followed him. By the time I got to the hall, he disappeared around the corner. Edward B. Lightly. I walked down to the corner of the hall, peeked around. He hadn't gone back to his room. He was standing in front of the elevator. The door opened. He looked inside, then up and down the hall. I ducked back. then eased around the corner again. Now he was crouching on the floor, holding the elevator door back with one hand, looking down. Then he stood up and walked off down the hall towards his room.
Well, Walker.
Well, Inspector Kiss.
We'll have to stop meeting like this. You want a shot?
No, thanks.
Are you underage?
No, I'm 19, remember?
Oh, yeah, what a sickening thought. Big Boss Bixson.
Yeah, he was the greatest. Well, one of the greatest, and Sonny Boy Williamson and Big Boy
Yeah, Cut yeah, up. Yeah, well, he's dead.
I know.
Preliminary report from forensics tells us water in the lungs, massive trauma to the back of the head, probable, one blow probable, the back edge of the tub. Well, that's that, eh? The man slipped on that piece of soap that was floating around in the water, knocked himself cold, and drowned. Now that's the blues. You're not smiling.
Mr. Bixson was a great man.
Yeah? Yeah, that's what Edward B. Lightly says, too, and Max Smith and Max's wife, Jess. Gee whiz, I always thought the baddest guys in the world sang the blues.
Not always.
Describe the bathroom one more time.
Well, it was neat. Bathrobe folded on the toilet, slippers lined up under the sink, floor shiny and dry. The water in the tub a few inches below the rim, a little warmer than room temperature. Mr. Bixson lying there, and blood.
Yeah, Walker, you know, you and I, we've been around the block a few times together now. Are you thinking what I'm thinking about the tub?
I'm thinking. Water in the tub. It should have still been running.
That's right.
Or if the tub was filled and plugged before he fell, Mr. Bixson was over 200 pounds. There should have been water all over the floor.
Yeah.
How's it going, son?
Okay. Eddie's in there again with Inspector Kiss. Oh, I think he's going to let us go soon.
Yeah, well, that's good.
About time. We've been here, what, 3 hours? What do you think we are, a bunch of criminals?
Well, I don't think so.
I mean the man is dead. We need some time to make calls. We need some time to be by ourselves. We need some time
Come on now, Jess. It's all right.
50 years. We've known the man 50 years.
Yeah, well, that's the truth.
Max Smith, the great blues pianist. Fingers long and bony and strong as steel. They lay limply now, folded across the old fedora sitting on his lap, his tired eyes taking in all the cops as they walked back and forth, his patient face as hidden and impassive as a rock. He was even older than Mr. Bixson. The man was at least 75 years old, slowed down to a painful shuffle now, arthritis in the hips and in the shoulders. Jess was about the same age, thick gray hair pulled back with two combs above her ears, a round, open, good-natured face.
You send everybody home?
Yeah.
Except me?
Yeah. Yeah, you want a shot?
Okay. I always feel a little weird. I mean, it's a police station.
Oh? You know, that elevator business in the hotel you were telling me about, Edward B. Lightly?
Yeah.
Well, I just got a report. Yeah.
Thanks.
The boys just found something at the bottom of the elevator shaft. So, here's to you, kid.
What was it?
What was it? Well, it was a key. A key that just happens to fit Big Boss Bixson's door.
Walker, where are you now?
Hi, Krista. St. Joe's Hospital. That just dropped somebody off. You got a pickup?
No.
Oh. Well, I'll be coming back downtown along Queen.
I was just wondering how you were, like, holding up.
I'm okay.
It's awful.
Yep.
Walker, go home and get some sleep. You've been talking to the police all night. You're going to drive into a streetlight or something.
No, it's okay. I'll finish the shift. Krista? Suppose you were wearing a bathrobe and you went into the bathroom to take a bath. What would you do with it?
What? I'd take it off, I guess.
Where would you put it?
On the floor. Why?
Why wouldn't you fold it up?
Why would I? Just be putting it on again. Or if I didn't, I'd be hanging it up on a hook or something.
Right.
Walker, don't play detective. Go home to bed. Alfonso won't mind, and I can call you before I start home later. So you can come downstairs and get me.
No, it's okay. Really, I'll finish the... Oh, jeez. I forgot all about you. How'd you get down the stairs? How'd you get to work?
I was wondering if you'd think about that.
Oh, jeez. How?
On my bum.
Everything was happening so fast, and I...
Don't worry about it, Walker. Really. I love you.
Yeah? I love you, too.
I don't get it. I mean, do they go to special schools to learn how to drive you nuts, or what?
It wasn't murder. It was an accident?
Yeah, that's what Inspector Kiss says, anyway.
Yeah, well, all right. That's what I thought all along. I mean, the bastard just slipped and cracked his head.
The what, Eddie?
The bastard. Big Boss Bixen. Bastard.
God.
Stick that in his tomb, Jack. Hey, how come they didn't bother to call me, man? I mean, that cop had me up half the night.
Oh, he said he'd call you later. He just wanted me to let you know for now so you wouldn't worry.
So who's worried, huh? God, what a finale. Think about it, man. Can you imagine the number of scrapes that old bastard must have survived? And he gets killed by a bathtub?
Yeah. Drowned. That's what they think. He knocked himself out, and then he slipped under the water.
No kidding.
Eddie, what's with all this bastard business?
You don't like it?
Not much.
Well, let me ask you a question. You've been squiring him around for a couple of weeks, so how much bread he laid on you?
We were going to settle up the end of the week.
Yeah? Hey, man, the end of the week, you wouldn't have seen Big Bad Bixen for dust.
Oh?
Listen, baby, I've been touring with him for 5 months. I haven't seen anything, man. Nothing but expenses. His manager's going to come and look after things. He's coming in from Chicago. Well, he didn't make it. Settle up next week, sweetheart. Man, I've been jerked around all through Europe and the United States of America because it was Big Boss Bixen, and I was just Mr. Grateful, fresh out of a bean patch. Hey, well, I am talented, man, and I deserve respect, too, and I deserve my money. And now I'm not going to be able to collect a lousy cent.
Hi, Mac.
Hey, son, how you doing?
Okay, I guess. Hello, Jess.
Why, hello there, Walker. There's a suit and some shirts in that other dressing room. They must be Bixen's.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with them. I got all yours, right? The blue shirt, the red stripe, and this pair of slacks. That was all, wasn't it?
That's it.
What brings you down here, Walker?
Oh, I came with Eddie. He's got a few things to pick up, too. So who's, going to look after Mr. Bixen's body?
His sister, the oldest, Carmine. She's coming up from Cincinnati. Flies in today. I guess I'll just leave his clothes for her. Open that suitcase for me, will you?
Sure. So, what happens now, Mac?
What happens now?
Yeah, I mean... Do you keep playing, or...?
No.
No.
I'm 75 years old. My body feels 110. I'm just worn out, son. Jess and I, we're going home. Who in the hell's that?
That was two policemen about the size of dump trucks thundering up the steps in the club and moving by us towards the dressing rooms at the back, followed by Inspector Kiss, who looked like a man chasing two Great Danes. He gave us a salute as he went by. Max stood up, looking frightened. Jess continued to pack as if she were oblivious to everything or too scared to move, folding a shirt carefully, the arms over 1, 2, 3 folds. And then Inspector Kiss popped out from behind the stage again, but this time held firmly between the two cops, handcuffed.
Hey! Hey! What's going on? What's happening here?
I didn't do it! I didn't do it!
Inspector Kiss stood at the top of the stairs, smiled, and disappeared.
Come back here! Hey! We got to do something. We got to help him. Eddie, he wouldn't. I know that boy. I know him.
Max started to walk around in circles, grasping at his chest. Jess and I sat him down. It was like it was all too much for him. But we got him calmed down, and then I told them. I told them about the key that Eddie had, how it fit Mr. Bixon's door, how Eddie hadn't been paid in months. He came into Mr. Bixon's room, listened, thought Mr. Bixon was already in his bath. It was his routine. Order breakfast from room service, read the Chicago papers, into the bath. Mr. Bixon always wore a money belt. Eddie was going to sneak in, take the money owed him, and out again. And as I talked, I kept looking at Jess. And tears welled up in her eyes, and her face began to crumple. And I said, there he was, Eddie, inside the room. But Mr. Bixon wasn't in his bath. He came out of the bathroom. They struggled, and the tears were running down Jess's face now. And Eddie killed him. Killed him. And he's going down for it. Motive, opportunity.
I think they've got him, Mac.
Lord!
They've got him, Jess.
And Jess's face was wet with tears now. And she leaned over and held Mac and kissed his cheek. And then she turned and looked at me as if she already knew that I knew.
It wasn't Eddie, was it, Jess?
What are you talking about?
Was it Jess?
No.
It wasn't Eddie, was it, Jess?
What are you talking about?
Was it Jess?
No.
Are you crazy? What are you saying?
Just be quiet, Mac. Be quiet. I can't let that boy. I just can't. I did it. I went down to his room just to talk to him. Just to ask him one time to let you go. He was killing you. Mac, he just laughed. And I followed him into the bathroom. And he said he wasn't going to change his mind. I could yell and plead all day. And he was just going to turn on the water and have a bath. And then he dropped his bathrobe and he smiled at me, this awful smile. And I pushed him. I pushed him.
Great tape.
I felt like a rat.
Yeah, well, it was your idea. And getting Eddie to help.
I know.
Listen, kid. Big Boss Bixon. He was the rat. Mm. I'd offer you a shot, but...
It was the bathrobe.
I'm out.
All folded up neat like that? Mr. Bixon would either have been putting it back on or hanging it up somewhere. He never would have bothered folding it. And Eddie? Not a chance. Why would he? But someone did. Someone who got up from their knees from drowning Mr. Bixon. They feel like they're someone else, like they're in a dream. They look around the bathroom, pick up the bathrobe distractedly, fold it automatically, precise and neat. Like they've been doing all their life. Straighten up the slippers. Another look around, a wave of panic, and they disappear. She disappears.
Justifiable homicide, if you ask me. And we may not need the tape anyway. She came in with you to make a statement.
Even though Mac was trying to talk her out of it.
Wrote it all down, signed it. She's a strong woman.
It was because of Eddie. She didn't want to see his life ruined.
Yeah.
So she ruined Max and her own.
Why? Walker.
Why? Well, about 50 years ago, Mac killed this guy over some kind of card game. Self-defense, he says. Anyway, there was just a guy and Mac... and Bixon.
And they panicked, and they took the body out to where Mac's dad lived, and they buried it in an old dry well at the back of the farm. It took them all night to fill it in. And Bixen said to Mac, "We're friends forever now. We're tight." Which meant he blackmailed Mac all these years to stay with him. Big Boss Bixen and Mac Smith. And he paid him as little as he could get away with. And when Mac had a chance to go on his own or join one of the big bands, Bixen would say, "No, we're best friends, remember? We're tight."
Nice guy, Walker.
Yeah. Now all Mac wanted to do was retire. Go home and rest. He was worn out. But Bixen wouldn't let him.
Oh, real nice. But how did Eddie get the key?
He took it out of Bixen's overcoat between sets. Had a friend duplicate it. He had the original back in the overcoat before the night was over. He was going to wait until the end of the week, sneaking when Bixen was sleeping and take whatever was owed him. When Bixen turned up dead, he panicked and dropped the key down the elevator shaft. You know what Max said?
What?
He said he could play those ratty old blues tunes as easy as falling out of bed. But he never got a chance to be a real musician. Never got a chance to find out how good he really was.
That sucks. Not getting a chance to do as much as you can do. Walker.
What?
I don't blame Jess. I don't. What are you smiling about?
Nothing.
It's nothing to smile about.
I know. So, when are we going to start looking for your apartment?
Do you want to?
Well, I was just thinking. It's better than being afraid every time I take a bath.
We've just heard Midnight Cab No. 10, The Mystery of the Drowning Man, written by James W. Nichol. You heard David Ferry as Walker and Jacqueline Samuda as Krista, with Neil Monroe as Inspector Kiss. Featured in this week's cast were Luther Hansraj as Bixen and Jeff Jones as Mac, with Philip Aiken as Eddie and David Hughes as the desk clerk. Special guest star Jackie Richardson was Jess. Music for the series is composed by Milan Kimlicka. The casting consultant is Linda Grierson. Recording engineer is Joanne Anka, with sound effects by Matt Wilcott. Series production assistant is Nancy Dow. Midnight Cab is produced and directed in Toronto by Bill Howell.